Mick, thanks for your time.
Pleasure, Roy. How are you, Bone?
Hey, Mick.
You know what? It's always great for a coach and a club and supporters when a star signs on, and Bryce Gibbs has. Well done.
Yeah, we went through the process last night with the board, and that's Andrew McKay and myself, and gave them the information that in regard to our list and where we're at, and it was very well done. It was the board were quick to approve it, and we're delighted. It's we haven't had a lot of good time in the last this year. So the last month has been very, very tough, and to have a player of his calibre come out and declare himself really a Carlton player for life, effectively, I would say. It is. It's very reassuring, and I think it's good for other players to see that in a player that in that position, who is domiciled in Melbourne at the moment, but born in South Australia and has a very strong family commitment and chooses to play for Carlton, I think it says it speaks volumes of what he's, I suppose, what he thinks about the future of the football club, and I'm delighted.
Yeah, Mick, you're right. I mean, it's a great endorsement for everything that's going on at Carlton. It feels like it might be the start of more movement, maybe more pens to paper. Is that how you sort of see it, that get the king to sign and others will follow?
Well, you're right. There are others that are up for signature, and we're very confident that the players that are out will be signing. And I just think that when you look at the list, you know, I heard someone the other day make a little bit of a mockery of what I said. I thought the Hawthorn and Geelong game were probably the best we've played in since I've been at the football club. It was a bit of a mockery of what I said, but I'll stand by that. Last year we played in the finals and we won X amount of games to get there. We weren't competitive, really competitive against the top sides. We were consistently good until a moment where their class took over, whether it be third or last quarter, and we got beaten. I thought against Geelong, who I regard as a top side, Hawthorn certainly a top side, I thought we were in the contest for a long, long time. We committed the errors that sides outside the eight make, and that is indecision, perhaps a skill error. But I reckon our endeavour was good. We worked very hard on our processes through the week. Players listened, players got it, and we were highly competitive. And that's what I mean. Winning doesn't necessarily mean that you're playing great football, but that's the method that you choose. And we chose great methods. But the two games surrounding that, i.e. Brisbane and Greater Western Sydney, we're so disappointed. I was really totally gutted by the weekend, not because of Greater Western Sydney. You know, I have great respect for all sides, yep, and I have great respect for them. I think they're going to be a power. There's no doubt about that. I've got one of my great players that I have utmost feeling for in Heeshaw played very well. So, you know, it's not a matter of that we were playing Greater Western Sydney. It's about the way we actually conducted ourselves, how we went about it. And I think our growth has got to be, it's from now on in, we know that statistically we win the nine games, we make the finals. We know that's up. We're up against that. So therefore, we're not being dismissive, but we're saying what's left of this year is not a matter of just pride. It's got to be what our growth is, how we grow as a team, how we grow as an individual. And the challenge now is that we've got to grow. I don't believe, I've never surrendered, I've never put the white flag up in my life. I've been on the knees plenty of times, but not grovelling. And I've been able to get up. And as I said to the player group, it's no sin to be beaten. It's how you go about life and how you go about your performance. And this is something that we've got to, our growth area is all in front of us. So I'm hoping that the catalyst is Bryce Gibbs, Chris Yaron, Troy Menzel, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel very confident that the group going forward will grow from what's taken place in the last month.
We had Brenton Sanderson, luckily, for a half hour yesterday, and I think he's got a similar problem to you guys. Crows are like you in that they get themselves up for the big games, and the Crows have, as you guys have.
Yeah.
Then they lose against those teams that are expected to win. And one of them was against Carlton, one was against Melbourne, and then Essendon on the weekend. We said, well, then you're mentally fragile, and he really hit us on the head with that. I don't think players can be mentally fragile, but inconsistent form does come down to mental fragility, Mick.
No. I'm going to agree with you. I'm not privy to that conversation with Brenton, but I certainly believe that in life, in sporting life, particularly at the elite level, there is a frailty within the human being. And generally speaking, we have the same weight room as the guys next door. We have very similar people that operate the strength and conditioning and the running and so forth. We like to think we've got psychologists. Not everyone's got full-time. We haven't. We've got part-time. We've got people who are very, very good at it. But at the end of the day, there's no question that if you can measure a man's strength by a way what he measures in what he pushes, it's very calculated. If you can measure a person's speed, you can do it on a stopwatch. What you can't do all the time is measure a man's strength of character or his strength of mind. And more often than not, that comes about by the occasion, how big the occasion is. Is it the big stage? And I say that you know, I know our group, and I'll be first to admit this, that there are times when the expectations are that we'll put our backs to the wall, we'll have a real crack at it, but when it becomes an expectation of victory, sometimes there's an overload. And we know that some players take too much of the burden on. So therefore, it's not a frailty necessarily. It's perhaps taking so much on that they have to think that we've got to win one, and I've got to play good two, and I've got to get them over the line. And sometimes we don't share that responsibility. So I think that there's cause to say that the mind, and look at Sam Stosur. She is a brilliant player. But there are occasions when the occasion sometimes gets to her. And what differentiates Federer from the next guy is not necessarily that he's a great forehand or backhand player. It's simply that he's got a mind like a absolute, like his mind controls every action. And he never lets the occasion get to him. Now, at some stage, it's going to be timing and, you know, young blokes will take over. But I admire people like that so much because they are so mentally strong and equipped to handle this occasion. What's the easiest? To manage a player, for Federer to play Wimbledon or a football side that play in the grand final? Clearly it's the side that plays in the grand final because that's the hardest one because there's so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what gets people.
Yeah, we were always told in our day, Bone and I, and you started it way before us and then gone all the way through, Mick, that it was always 80% upstairs, then 20% the ability. So the mental aptitude will get you the result. And that always stemmed, I thought, mentally from the confidence. And if I had a coach that made me never feel scared about making a mistake or kicking the goal, just get back on the horse and try it again, Rowie. I think you grew with those sort of coaches. And I think the problem maybe with the Crows, and we did say this, and I don't know whether it's with Carlton, if you're scared to make a mistake, that dents confidence. When you dent confidence, you get inconsistent performance. How important then is confidence, Mick, in your eyes?
Yeah, I think the most important thing, Rowley, is that you understand every player because some players need challenge.
Yep.
And some players don't. They're fragile. And some players need an arm around the shoulders. Some players are distant. I think it's too broad of a stroke to say that everyone is in the same category because I don't believe in that, and I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I think the only way it is you must understand every player and what button to press.
What makes them tick?
Absolutely, because certain players, and I can use this player because he doesn't play anymore, but when I had Collingwood, I had Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson can take criticism in front of others, and he would respond. Whereas another player, I won't name him, when you point the finger at him in a big room with plenty of people, he caved in. So I learnt not to do that, grabbed him, took him aside, worked with him, he responded. Ben Johnson would say, Mick, I needed that, bang, beauty, I'm going to go on now and respond. So the art to it really is man management. And I don't think there's any one player the same as the next bloke next to him in any football club as there is in any society. There is a variety of people with a variety of differences that you've got to cater for.
So, Mick, can you build a player's... His mental toughness then, or do you just build his confidence, as Rowie suggested? I mean, it's a great argument and great debate. I don't know if there's an answer to it, but what do you do?
Bone, you've been around for a long time. You would have sat next to blokes in the locker room that you just know that are fragile.
Yes.
And sometimes it's a cuddle, and other times it's a point the finger.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, I think you can grow mentally stronger. Marginally. I don't think there's any one single thing that says I'm going to make that bloke totally mentally stronger. Sometimes it's got to be go through occasions and actually cut it down and say, well, look, you handle this, then you didn't handle this. How do we sit down between us and go, right, next time you're in this situation, What are the triggers that can get you through that occasion? And look, the player then's got to think of those triggers under that extreme pressure. Some will, some won't. Those that don't make it.
Okay, you can't carry them as a coach, surely, after a certain while. I mean, surely...
No. Unfortunately, that's life in an elite competition. Yes, if they play for your local team in your local area and they're part of the environment, that person just plays.
Yeah.
And you, because the stakes aren't as high. But when you're in an elite competition that's continually being tested by media, sponsors, boards and everything else, your right is to get the best players ready for the most important occasion. That's week-to-week combat.
So over your years and journey then, Mick, would have delisted more players that showed a mental weakness, if you like, than ability?
About even.
Wow.
It's a good question, but it's about even.
Jeez, that's...
Because they're tied in. They're totally tied in together.
Okay. We'll move on. Why would the AFL program Carlton v Collingwood Sunday night at 7:10? I think I know the answer, but that is ridiculous, Mick.
I think Channel 7 would be pretty happy about it.
But that's ridiculous. I reckon we sold too much of the farm, this is the AFL, for the broadcasting rights to our media partners, and that's what we're going to have to deal with. We can't do this next time. That's ridiculous. Because you know what? The game's for the fans, and the fans don't want to be out there 7:10 on a Sunday.
Well, it certainly does preclude. I can say that a few of my family members, it's precluded because they're young, their grandchildren certainly won't go to the game because they wouldn't be able to get into a school the next day. So it certainly does preclude it. I think we've got to wait. Rowie, with all due respects, and I know I'm in your camp here, but we are in a modern society that is that's basically about the media, TV, who can watch it on TV more so than who goes. And look, we're seeing sport right around the world be based on the number of people that actually watch the game via the TV as opposed to who actually goes through the turnstile. So we're moving in that direction, and it's going to be, at the end of it, the cameras will be on the ground and not necessarily show the crowd, because we know Manchester United at Old Trafford, that's going to be stacked full. But if they had some terrible, terrible years over a long period, they'll show the ground, they won't show the stands. And you know, for our game against the Greater Western Sydney, they showed a lot of the ground, didn't show much of the stand, because it was only about 8,000 or 9,000, if that. So this is the modern era. This is having the game on your phone, not necessarily only on your TV, on your phone, on your iPad, on everything else. So this is where we're moving.
Hey Mick, did John O'Brien make the right call?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And let me say, and I haven't said it, but say it on you with you guys. What a wonderful exponent of our game. Ugh. As a key, big key centre forward. Now he heard us a few years ago with the premierships. But let me just say, there's a bloke I admire for two very big reasons. He's big bodied and this sort of stuff and tough and all this sort of stuff, but he's one single bloke that played for his teammates and his club.
Mm.
That was first and foremost before his performance.
We'll see.
And don't you just love that in a bloke? No matter how big his name is, that he's playing for his mates and he's playing for his club.
Brown or Cloak?
Oh, different players. Different players. See, I love Trav. I mean, I coach Trav, and Trav's just a ripping kid. He's a ripping kid, and he's in great form, unfortunately, coming into our game. Different player altogether than Brown. That's mixing apples and oranges.
And Brown and Riewoldt, that's different as well?
Probably a different game. You know, I think Jonathan Patton's got a real chance of being
similar to
Brown. Because big, bulky, takes the big mark, kicks it from 50. I said to the boys at the weekend, he's having a shot from 50. I said, you can put your glasses down for 15 minutes because they'll have to go and get the ball outside the stand.
That's funny.
He's not going to not only just make the distance, he's going to kick it over the top of the stand.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
Now, Mick... In your time in the game, you've given an odd spray or two. Thankfully, that neither Rowie or I have been on the end of one, but you've given one or two. Nathan Buckley gave one on the weekend.
Well, I've got to say, and I'll say this to you guys too, if that had been me, different reaction.
From which or from Bucks?
From the media.
Oh, from the media.
Oh, not treated so nicely.
I think I'll leave it to you guys.
Yeah, okay, enough said.
Yeah, but you know what? Mick's right.
Enough said,
that is exactly right. And I don't know why that is the case. Absolute joke. Hey, Mick, thanks for your time. All the best, actually, on Sunday at 7:10. We'll be watching Carlton Collingwood. And if Carlton are true to form, you get yourselves up for those big games as the Crows
right,
will with Port Adelaide. Mick, thanks for your time.
Love talking to you, Blakes. All the best.
Well done.
Good on you, Mick.
Absolute legend. Mick Malthouse, our guest.